preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you, that we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength today. God, we worship you, Jesus. We do pray that you will give us that holy fire, more of your presence in our lives. You'll help us realize that we need you more now than ever before. God, as spiritual warfare is increasing across the earth and upon your people, really upon everybody in the world, Lord, we need your anointing, we need your strength, we need your wisdom, we need to know your word, we need to know how to fight. Well, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated this morning. Welcome you to Fire and Grace Church. You know, people ask me, I'm going to say this, people ask me why is our name Fire and Grace? Well, it's real simple. Jesus said he would baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire, right? Hebrews 12, the last verse, what is it? Well, not last verse, Hebrews 12, 29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Amen? So he's both grace, he gives us mercy and forgiveness, opportunity for Jesus to be right with him. So that's grace. We don't earn it, but we must believe it and follow him. But we also need the fire of the Holy Ghost. So that's what our name is all about. That's why we're Fire and Grace Church. We're not trying to be scary. You know, we're just trying to, it is a biblical name. The fire of God is a biblical thing. Amen? Take your Bibles, and I want you to turn first to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. I've just been seeking the Lord about which direction to go with this today, and really wasn't settled even this morning, but sometimes you just need to get in praise and worship and quiet everything down and listen to the Lord. But we're going to talk about spiritual warfare that's increasing across the earth right now. and explain that those attacks are going to change the course of nations, but they're going to affect individuals as well. So I'm going to let everybody turn there because I want you to see this morning. I'm not going to take anything for granted about the subject of spiritual warfare. But Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start reading at verse 10. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Or that could be translated, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Some of your translations may actually say that. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." I want you to underline that. If you're taking notes, just pay attention to that. First of all, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Then he says, there's an evil day. What's an evil day? An evil day is the day that evil prevails, where evil spreads, where evil increases. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, or to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always." Everybody quotes this passage, and they tend to stop before this verse. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And then Paul, the apostle, says, "And for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." I think from time to time we have to be remembered that we are fighting a spiritual war against very real fallen angels, demon spirits, and the spiritual wickedness that comes from people, through people. Because, you know, a lot of times we don't realize that human beings are spirit, soul, and body. And so human beings can use their spirit. Most witches and New Agers understand that they learn how to literally, through demonic power, take their spirit out of their body and travel. That's called astral projection. Some call it soul travel. But they take their body out, and they will literally attack you in the spirit realm. So you have a battle on several fronts. You're dealing with spirits in the heavenly places, in high places. I'll get to that, explain that in a second. You're dealing with fallen angels, demons, and human spirits. A lot of people think, and you're looking at me like a new dog, a dog with a new dish, I should say. Some people think that fallen angels and demons are the same thing. They're not. Okay? I'm not going to get into all that this morning, but there's different classes. Here in Ephesians 6, he says in verse 12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That means chief. Chief, it's actually the word in the Greek, arche, which means chief in rank, princes. Okay? Principalities, so there are fallen angels that are prince, called princes. All right? And they are the chief in rank. Those, that's why you see in the Bible, you see the good angels you mentioned in the Bible, like Gabriel, Michael. They're called archangels. Okay? Lucifer, whom we call Satan now, his real name was Hallel when he was in heaven as the worship leader. He was one of the three chief archangels. All right? Now, the Bible tells us one-third of the angels left with Hallel or Lucifer, Satan, one-third left with him, but most of them, after they sinned with the women on the earth, the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, after they Many of them came down, many of those fallen angels came down, and they actually had sexual relations with human women and created the race called the Nephilim, the giants that were half human and half fallen angel. All these myths you guys think that were myths, they're not myths. They were really half humans and half little g gods upon the earth. Hercules is not a myth. But you got to realize too, they are coming back again. But God took these angels, and I'm going to show you some of these, most all of these fallen angels, because they sinned with the women and created this race, this half-breed race called the Nephilim, the Raphaim. You can read about it in the Bible. He created this half-breed race to destroy the human race, to pollute the human DNA, human genome, so the Messiah could not come. That was Satan's plan way, way back. That's why God sent the flood. A lot of people don't know that. You know, when it talks about the flood, it says, man, wickedness became great upon the earth. But then in Genesis 6, God ties it to the fallen angels who were with the human women who created the mighty men of renown, the Nephilim, the giants. And God said, I'm gonna wipe out man off the earth. And when he said he found Noah, he said Noah found grace in his sight. And Noah was perfect, not a perfect man, because no man has lived a perfect life and never sinned. He said Noah was perfect in his generations, meaning he was not polluted with the Nephilim bloodline that was polluting the bloodline of the human race. So because of that great sin of the fallen angels, many of them were so wicked and so evil that God took them, and he had Michael and his other angels take them and chain them under the earth. Some of them are chained and put in a place called the abyss, in the Greek abyssuo, the bottomless pit. Some are under the earth. Some are in the great river Euphrates right now, chained under that river. Some are in Tartarus, Gehenna, the underworld. But some of them still roam the earth. And what you have to understand is the principalities, the fallen angels that are left here, rule over nations and influence kings and kingdoms. Now, if you don't believe me, I'm going to show you that. Go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. We're going to start reading at verse 1 here. Everybody with me? And for some of you that say, well, we're not in the Old Testament, we're in the New Testament. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So we go back to the Old Testament to get a view of what I'm talking about. Let's look at it. Daniel chapter 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. That was his Chaldean name. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. This means he was fasting. Said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And on the 24th day of the first month, I was beside the great river, which is the Hiddekel. Then I lift up my eyes and look, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like unto beryl, his face the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms were and his feet were like the color to polished brass, and the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. Now, this is a vision of Jesus. This is exactly what the Apostle John reveals that Jesus looks like now in his resurrected form. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1. So he sees this. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So the power of God, don't tell me the power of God can't fall on you and make you shake and tremble. You know, we got whole denominations that think that's of the devil. But let me tell you, if the power of God really falls on you, something's going to happen. You're going to cry. You're going to shake. You might laugh. You might fall down. You might run in fear. There's no telling what might happen, right? Depends on what God's trying to deal with in your life, right? But he says they fled to hide themselves. Now, verse 8, he says, therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground, and behold, a hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this thing unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word. So this is, now it's shifted from, he saw a vision of Jesus, God Almighty, in his glorified form. It shifts, he's so under the power of God that it takes him to the ground and shaking, and then he's out. Then the angel comes, and this is the angel Gabriel, comes and touches him and strengthens him and raises him up a little bit. He's still trembling. And then the angel says, Daniel, the first day that you began fasting and praying, I mean 21 days before, he said, your words were heard by God, and I was sent to you. The angel Gabriel, I was sent to you. But look what he says in verse number 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for the vision is yet for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. And behold, one like unto the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can thy servant of this Lord talk with thy Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me. And, you know, I love how people, you know, people want to criticize. I've seen people what we call slain in the spirit. They get prayed for, power of God touches them, and they fall to the ground. Everybody, you know, many denominations get in an uproar about that. But let me tell you, God can hit you and wipe you out for just a second because he wants to deal with you. So I don't have a problem with that. But look what he says, verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be upon thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Now when I return, I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia will come. But I show you that this which is noted in the scripture of truth, that there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now, I read all this so you would see that Daniel is getting a picture, and he's getting to see what the angels are going through in just trying to get a message to Daniel. Now, God uses messengers. He doesn't always speak the same way. He doesn't always do things the same way. But we know he uses angels. He used them, what? He sent Gabriel to tell Mary, right, that you will have the Messiah. He sent an angel to Elizabeth. He sent an angel, it says, to Joseph in a dream. God has angels. In fact, Hebrews 13:2 says, be not forgetful to entertain angel, you know, strangers. He said, some have entertained angels unaware. How many of you know it? You've probably been around an angel and didn't even know it. Amen? Now, there are good angels, and there are very bad ones, okay? But I want you to see how this spiritual warfare is going on over our heads. There are spirits and fallen angels that are chained under the earth, and there are ones that are free to roam in what we call the heavens. Now remember, we believe that the Bible talks about three heavens, right? Our atmosphere is one, beyond that is two, and the third one beyond that is the third heaven where God's throne is. That's why the Bible says the heavens. These principalities, these princes, move about in this realm, and they're very interested in getting strongholds or getting their influence in territories and regions over leaders and kings. You need to understand this. This is why Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 that it's very important to understand why we must pray for leaders and kings and those in authority, because these forces are trying to take them over and influence them to do evil. All right? And notice it says that Daniel began to set himself to pray and to fast and pray, and he did so for 21 days. Now, what was going on in the heavens, the Holy Spirit led Daniel to a time of fasting and prayer because he knew there was going to be an increase in spiritual warfare in the heavens, and God has set things up. You cannot like it. You cannot want to admit it, but God has set things up where what happens on the earth, a lot of what happens on the earth, is up to us, his people, to pray his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are involved. The Calvinists hate this because they say God is sovereign. He does everything. He doesn't need us. That is not true. It's true that he doesn't need us, but he has chosen to use us on the earth to bring about his will and his plan through prayer and obedience and speaking his word and doing spiritual warfare. God has called us to be. That's why the scripture says we are co-laborers with Jesus Christ. He's not going to do it all for us. Remember he said this in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power and authority over all the power of the enemy." He said, "In my name, you will cast out demons." Right? He said, "You bind the strong man and you will spoil his house. You pray, my kingdom come, my will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You have to do some things. Amen? God has always chosen to work through men and women upon the earth. If he didn't need us, why did he use Mary to birth Jesus? If he didn't need us, why did he use Isaiah the prophet, and Ezekiel the prophet, and Jeremiah the prophet? And most people don't understand that because when Adam and Eve sinned, they turned over the authority and their power over to Satan in the Garden of Eden. And that's why Jesus, God Almighty, had to become a man, because a man had been given dominion over the earth. And that man had handed that dominion over to Satan, and a man had to come and live a sinless life and die for sin and be resurrected to take back that dominion. Can somebody say amen right there? Jesus took back the dominion of the earth from the devil. But now there's a timing on it. Jesus paid for it, but there's a day coming when Jesus returns that he will enforce that victory of his on the cross fully when he returns. Until that time, we are in a war with a devil who controls the powers and the kingdoms of this world and most of the people in this world. We are in a war because they want to turn as many people away from Jesus, and they actually believe, listen, Satanists and the Illuminati and the Luciferians and all these people actually believe that they are going to defeat Jesus when he returns. That is why they are trying to enhance themselves with transhumanism through incorporating themselves with computer chips and all of this, you know, all of this stuff, bio enhancement and DNA enhancement, all of this stuff. They're trying to create them to become their own God, superhumans. And they've been brainwashing all of you for years to make you think this, it's a good thing. Let me tell you right now, they're developing chips, and really they already have them. They're developing nanochips, RFID microchips, to go in your brain. Think about that, to go in your brain. That's why the Bible said in the end time, the Antichrist and the world government that's coming would cause everyone to take a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. In, not on. The scripture always said in and not on. And right now, the RFID microchip is being pushed to be put in your hand. But what they're not telling you is they're wanting to put it in your brain too. And literally they're admitting DARPA, the government's arm, technology arm, they've developed a chip, they said, to put it in soldiers to help deal with post-traumatic stress disorder. There's also now a study being done, and I believe they probably already got it. If they're leaking the information, they probably had it for 20 years. But a chip that actually they can put in your brain to create memories that you don't even have. It's coming down to a point. See, the mark of the beast, the reason the Bible says if you take the mark of the beast, you won't be forgiven. It's the ultimate betrayal because you're going to lose your free will. And don't tell me they can't do it, because if they can put a chip in you that can change the structure of your DNA, that can create memories that don't exist or treat emotional problems from war, don't tell me that chip can't also control whether you believe in God or not. Satan has always been after taking away your free will. And if he can't deceive you and get you to turn against Jesus and against the Word of God, then he's going to try to forcefully take you away. Do not take the mark of the beast, folks. I'm just going to tell you that. Do not do it. Notice, though, and back in Daniel 10, notice, though, it says, as Daniel was fasting and praying and Gabriel was sent, he said the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him. Now, that's nice King James language for saying they had a knockdown, drag out fight in the heavens. And it was this prince of the kingdom of Persia was so strong, an evil, demonic force, an evil, satanic force. He was so strong that Gabriel said, Michael had to come help me fight him. But notice he says, when I leave here, I got to go back and fight him again. But when we go back and fight him this time, see, at that time, the kingdom of Media Persia was in control of the earth. It was the dominating force of the earth. But he said, when I go back and fight with him, when Michael and I defeat him, he said, the prince of the kingdom of Grecia will come. And what happened? Right after this, the Medo-Persian Empire fell to the Grecian Empire, and Alexander the Great became the leader of the world power. These forces and this spiritual war changes the course of nations. You hear what I'm saying? And they're in the heavenlies right now. Now, the Bible tells us that there are many spirits. How many of you know how many spirits are mentioned in the Bible? Anybody know for sure? That are named. I mean, I'm talking about evil spirits, evil fallen angels. You have some name. Of course, we have Lucifer, Hallel, Satan. He's the main leader. There's Abaddon spoken of in Revelation 9, right? Or Apollyon. There are different ones. Jesus said there's a deaf and dumb spirit. He said there's a spirit of whoredoms. He said there's a perverse spirit. He said there's a spirit of error. He said there are deceiving spirits, lying spirits. He said that there's all kinds. I mean, goodness, I'm not even naming them all. Spirit of jealousy. I mean, there's so many different ones, right? The spirit of Antichrist. Not just the Antichrist who will come, but the spirit of Antichrist. Now, the Bible tells us that in the last days, these spirits are going to increase and take over. Spiritual darkness would increase, right? I want you to read, flip over to Daniel 7. I wanted to show you something that says the Antichrist will do. The spirit of Antichrist that will be predominant in the last days. Daniel 7 is all about the end time and the days approaching the second coming of Jesus. It talks about the rise of the Antichrist. Talks about the world government with 10 kings. All of that's happening, by the way. It's beginning to happen. But he says this about the Antichrist in Daniel 7, verse 25. It says, he shall speak great words against the Most High God, the true creator, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, the word wear out here, the phrase in the Hebrew, you know what it means? In the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, it means primarily to afflict you and wear out your mind. Anybody felt overwhelmed and attacked in your mind? He said this right here would be prevalent in the last days, that this spirit, you know, the Antichrist, it says, is going to have demon spirits in him. How do I know that? Revelation 16 says that three unclean spirits like frogs will go out of the mouth of the Antichrist, out of the mouth of the false prophet, and out of the mouth of the beast. Right? Pretty clear. And those evil spirits will go out, it says, and gather the kingdoms of the world and the armies of the world to the battle of Armageddon in Megiddo Valley in Jerusalem. But when he says here that this Antichrist and the spirits working with him will try to wear out the saints of the Most High, this word means in your mental faculty. How does he do that? Well, let me tell you what the devil's after. The fallen angels, the demon spirits, the spirit of Antichrist. The first thing they're after is your faith in the Lord Jesus and your faith in the Word of God in the Bible. That's the first thing they want to get you to doubt or not believe it or turn away from it. That's what they're after first and foremost. Secondly, if they can't succeed in that, then they're going to want to make you depressed. Discouraged, so depressed, so discouraged that you can't even function, even maybe suggesting suicide in your brain. If that doesn't work, then they'll go to work at trying to cause division in your family or in your marriage or your relationships or with you and church people or your pastor. They'll work to try to cause division, to cause discontent. Then if that doesn't work, they'll just start telling you lies. They'll start trying to overwhelm you with temptation, whatever your particular weakness may be. For some, it may be greed for money. For some, it may be sexual lust and immorality. For some, it may be drugs or alcohol. For others, it may be hatred or racism or whatever. But then they're going to bombard you with whatever your weakness is to get you to fall into sin so that you become more and more captive to the devil, because the more you sin, the more doors you open to demon spirits and the greater the stronghold they get in you, and then they ultimately control you. But this battle, we have been warned in the Old Testament and the New Testament that we should wake up and realize that just because we can't see them 99.9% of the time does not mean that they are not there and they are not working against you every single day, and they're working against this nation, and they're working to change everything in the world right now, and not for the better. What is rising up, folks, is a communistic, socialistic world government. And what's blowing my mind is how many young people in America that are being brainwashed by the public school system and the universities to believe that socialism and communism are good things. This is what's blowing me away. You know what it is? They've convinced these kids that the government's going to give them free stuff. And that's all they think that it's about. So Bernie and Hillary and half of the Republicans. Free stuff. You know, I love what Margaret Thatcher said about communism, socialism. Said the problem with it, well, number one, it never works. It never works. It always fails. But she said this. She said the problem with socialism and communism is eventually you run out of other people's money. You can only take so much from the poor, from the rich and give it to the poor before the rich aren't rich anymore. And how many of you ever got a job from a poor person? That's what communism and socialism, it sounds nice, but it always ends up It always ends up taking away free speech and the free market by force. And then you can't think what you want anymore. You can't say what you want anymore. You can't believe what you want anymore. And what is coming to this world, God warned us, is a communistic, socialistic world government. And we were warned about it thousands of years ago. And it's happening. Listen, folks, you cannot like Donald Trump or like him. It doesn't matter to me. I know what God told me about him. God is raising him up for a purpose. But what happened in Chicago the other day when over 20,000 protesters organized through MoveOn.org and these other, you know, George Soros and the whole socialist, communist movement, when they went in there and got violent and shut down a political rally by force, by threat of violence, shouting, "Feel the burn," and "Bernie," and "Bernie." I can't believe that that many young people, whether it's rent-a-thug, they just because they're getting money from George Soros, or they actually believe that socialism is the answer. And I love this. People calling Donald Trump a racist. The man's never said a racist thing, particularly about African-Americans at all. He's never said one racist thing. And a lot of people think, well, he's a racist because he's spoken out against Islam and that Islam hates the West. Well, that's the truth. And Islam is not a race of people, folks. It's a religion. I mean, there's all kind of races that are Muslims, just like there's all kind of races that are Christians. Does Islam teach to kill the infidel? Yes. Does Islam teach that Islam should overthrow governments and create a Sharia caliphate? Yes. It is a demonic, fallen angel, Satan-controlled religion. And to say so is not racism. Folks, we are watching these spirits, the spirits behind communism, the spirits, the evil spirits behind communism, the evil spirits behind Islam, the evil spirits behind the Vatican, the evil spirits behind the United Nations, the evil spirits that are within our school systems. It's all pushing us toward this cliff of total world government, one world government, a world leader, and nobody having the freedom to be a Christian if they want to, or to be a part of the economic system if they don't take the mark in their hand or their forehead. That's what's coming. God, I pray that America gets a leader that will stand against this. But it's going to happen. And listen, you young people, for sure, let me just go on and tell you. You can say, well, it may not happen in my lifetime. I believe it will. But I assure you, all of these things will happen in your lifetime. And we're talking about your life and your children and your grandchildren. So wake up. I can't believe. You know what? And I love it. We're not a 501c3 church, so I can say anything I want to say, politically speaking. Hillary is a devil in human form. I pray to God she goes to prison here soon. But they got somebody else waiting to take her place. I can't believe that a person knowing everything about her, and I know about her for the last 30 years. I even lived in Arkansas while her and her husband were the governors. I know about the people who died. I know about the MENA, Arkansas airport where they were shipping drugs from Central and South America, flying them into Arkansas and then distributing them to the United States. The Bushes were flying them in and the Clintons were distributing it, worked together, using CIA assets. Oh, yeah. And people need to go to prison. And the reason both sides hate Donald Trump is because he said, if I become president, some people are going to prison, Bush and Clinton. We're in trouble. There ain't no such thing as Republican and Democrat. Let me tell you the two parties in America. Americans that love America and the globalists who want to tear it down and destroy it and bring us under a UN world government. That's the two parties in America. I don't need a perfect man to be president. I just want a man that loves America and the Constitution. That's not tied up with these people over here saying one thing while he's making deals with these people. Don't shout me down. Preaching good now. Get awful quiet in here. If I offended you, don't worry. It was bound to happen at some point. Right? I love how the 20-somethings, too, 20-something-year-old people, and I'm speaking this about our own children, how they think they know something. I mean, we went out on the Auburn University campus, y'all, what, a year ago, a little over? Talked to two freshmen, two sophomores. I mean, they were young at Auburn University. And all of them, communism's a good thing. Socialism's a good thing. I walked away. We're in trouble. I'm just going to tell you, if the next president of the United States is Hillary or Bernie or Biden or Ted Cruz or Jeb Bush or Mitt Romney, we are in big trouble. Or Rubio, yes. He's in with them. Yeah, Rubio's one of them. All these people that I just named are the ones giving Rubio all the money. That's all you have to do in politics. Follow the money. That's right, buddy. Follow the money. I love it. Show me the money, and I'll show you who's a servant of who. All right? Mm-hmm. Can you believe it's going to cost whoever becomes president of the United States this go around will cost them $1.5 billion to become president of the United States? $1.5 billion. Now, unless you're like Trump and have your own money, then somebody's giving you that money. And people don't give you $1.5 billion and not expect anything out of it. Right? Please understand something. I can't stand most of the Republicans, and I can't stand the Democrats. This is not, they're two cheeks on the same butt. And we all know what comes out of a butt. That's right. But I'm telling you, the two parties, I'm going to say it again. Those who love America and will defend America and be loyal to the United States of America, and those who are truly globalist, Luciferian, one world government people. That's why they won't close the border. They won't close the border because the goal of the one world government people is to create a North American union to wipe out the borders between Canada and Mexico and to have one place like the European Union and call it the North American Union. And Heidi Cruz helped write the book on the Council of Foreign Relations to build a North American union. Ted Cruz worked for the Bush family. The Bush family, the daddy and George W., pushed NAFTA and the TPP, and all of these things are to tear down our sovereignty and our borders so that we will meld one day and we will become a third world country and we will meld under and we'll crumble from illegal immigration and we'll meld under the UN world government in a crisis. The plan is to create both an economic crisis, an immigration crisis, a moral crisis in America, to weaken America to the point that the rest of us will be forced to submit to the UN. I absolutely know this from research of 30 years. This is not conspiracy theory or speculation. So yes, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, John Kasich, all of them are bought little hand puppets. Bought and paid for. Hillary, Bernie, Joe Biden, Obama is nothing. Obama is nothing but a globalist hand puppet. That's all he is. America's only hope, I'm telling you, God spoke it to me. You can like it, not like it, but our only hope is to have a man that's not bought and paid for by these people. Or we're in trouble. So you cannot like some of the things Donald Trump says. Look, we're not electing a Sunday school teacher. I want somebody. The Bible says the power of government is to punish the evildoers and protect the good. I want a leader who will kill ISIS. You understand? And while we're discussing this, and I'm just having a little free-for-all this morning, while we're discussing this, let me help you understand something. When it says wicked spirits in heavenly places, look, there's a difference. All of us in here sin from time to time. Am I right? We sin. We give into anger, or we let a cuss word slip out of our mouth, or we might tell a little white lie, or we might do something we shouldn't do. There's a difference between committing a sin and being wicked. You understand? I watch people, I've seen some stuff lately that blows my mind. But when you look at Islam invading Europe, and now all the women getting raped in Europe by Muslim immigrants, it's an epidemic of rape. I'm sorry, but that is wicked. That's not just a sin, that's wicked. And the governments of the world should rise up in righteous indignation and stop that evil. That's the true job of good government, is to stop evil people from destroying the rest of us. Armies are not to win the hearts and minds. Armies are to kill people and break things. I want a president who will say, send everything we got and destroy these evil people. Hitler wasn't going to sign a peace treaty. Hitler wanted to kill all the Jews. Somebody had to stop him. Stop being little weak pansies. Say, that doesn't sound like a preacher. Look, if they're going to be evil and rape women and molest little kids and blow up buildings and airplanes and fly planes into buildings, it's time for somebody to stand up and deal with them. God raises up kings to deal with evil. We are up against great wickedness. You better hope and pray we get a leader like Donald Trump. You better hope and pray we get somebody with a backbone, with strength, that loves America, that will protect Christianity, that will protect Israel. You better hope and pray we get them. I know about the politicians that talk and don't do. This is why both sides are fighting. Do I think Donald Trump's a Christian? No, I don't. I think he thinks he is. Some of you sitting here think you are, but you're not. But does he love America? Will he defend Christians? Will he destroy ISIS? Oh, I believe him about that. I believe him. I know what God told me about him. He'll do it. You better hope he gets elected. If he doesn't, we're in trouble. We get another Bush hand puppet, we're in trouble. And we're already in trouble. See, this is what most of you don't know. The forces of darkness, the wicked spirits in heavenly places, the fallen angels who have been working on our leaders, this thing's already much further down the road than many of you know. And within this year, you know, the Lord spoke to me about this year, and he back in November or December, he said, this year would be a year of chaos. I have never, ever seen a political rally in my lifetime stopped by communist, socialist Americans by force and violence. We're very close to having a civil war in this country. Very close. Jesus said kingdom would rise against kingdom and nation against nation. Do you know what the word nation means there? It's ethnos. It means ethnic groups would rise up against each other. Not just nations, not just kingdoms of the world, not just other kingdoms fighting, but ethnic groups would rise up and fight. And you know what's so foolish? I watched some of this craziness. And the people talk about Trump is a racist. Now, this is some African-American people talking about Trump is a racist, but Hillary is the one, or Bernie's the one. And Hillary has spoken about Margaret Sanger as a hero. Anybody know who Margaret Sanger is? She was the founder of eugenics in America and Planned Parenthood and abortion. You know what she said abortion was for? This is on record. The woman who founded the abortion industry in America. She said the purpose of it, we're going to put these abortion clinics in black neighborhoods so we can wipe out the black race. And Hillary says she's a hero. Now, if Donald Trump said that, he'd be a racist KKK member. You understand how this is how it works. We live in a time where they're trying to pit us against each other. Don't get me wrong. There are African Americans that are racist against whites. There's whites that are racist against African Americans. There's racism. There is racism. I'm not saying there's that, because it's part of the human sin nature to think you're better than or whatever, to have issues over skin color. Which let me give you a little hint about skin color. Do you know, how many of you know, that there's only one skin pigment? It's called melanin, right? Only one color. We just happen to be different shades of the same color. And if you want to get real funny about it, us white folks basically don't have enough. That's just the way it is. And much more easy to get cancer, too. Right? This stuff has got to stop. It's not about race. It's not about any of this stuff. We are fighting evil, wicked, fallen angels and evil spirits that are trying to control our leaders. And there's a change coming. And there's a change coming, whether you want it to or not. The forces, now, go with me. Go with me to Revelation chapter 12. Y'all with me? Revelation 12. And let me just say this, for the Christian, if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, listen to me closely. And I know those of you on Periscope might not see me sometimes. That's all right. But if you're a born-again Christian, you better judge people or discern people not by what they say and not always by what they do, because some of it can be an act. You better be discerning people by the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, or you're not going to know who's lying to you or who's not lying to you. Amen? If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're going to be easily deceived by anybody that comes along. Whether they be a pastor or a politician, or you know, for some of you young people that are not married yet, it'll be the wrong boyfriend or the wrong girlfriend or the wrong potential spouse. They can talk a good game, even pretend to be Christian and not be. You better know by the Holy Spirit, because if you don't, you're going to be deceived. Revelation 12 says this, speaking of the end time, within the last 7 years, during the Great Tribulation, listen to what it says here. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Somebody say, there was war in heaven.
There was war in heaven.
Michael and his angels, all right, you don't have to say it anymore, fought against the dragon. Who is the dragon? The devil. And the dragon fought in his angels. Do you see this? There is a war going on in the heavenly realm over your head for control of your life, control of your government, control of your nation, control of your family, and really for control of your mind. But there's this war in the heaven, and Michael and the good angels, God's angels, are fighting against Satan, the dragon, the devil, and his angels. And he says this war right now, this war is going to intensify, and we're going to come to a point real soon. Listen to this. It doesn't get better. He says, for there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there found place any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him, the devil, meaning we, the Christians, we overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives even unto the death, and that means we're willing to die if we have to not deny him. This war is going to intensify until, for us, it's a matter of life and death. Our brothers and sisters in the Middle East have already facing this. Europe is now facing this. France, England, Germany, they're being taken over by the Antichrist religion of Islam. Yesterday, Trump was attacked by a Muslim. And the Secret Service stopped him right before he got on the stage. We are at war with an evil spirit behind a religion. But he says that we will overcome this deception and this war. We have to have, listen to me, the blood of Jesus Christ. Please get this. You can never be righteous enough, holy enough, good enough, perfect enough to be able to fight the devil in your own strength. To be able to fight the demons, the fallen angels, the wicked people, you will never be good enough. That's why your sins must be forgiven through and washed away through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. You must make sure that your faith is in him and that you are walking in him. And you have to be walking in the light of his word, in the truth, so the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. That's 1 John chapter 1. We may turn there in a second. I just want to emphasize that. There are a lot of people think they're Christians and think that the blood of Jesus is upon their life. But just because you say you believe does not mean you have real faith. Real faith is a heart change that produces actions change. You understand? Real faith has actions that correspond with it. All right? That's why a minute ago, remember when the armor of God, what did he say? Above all, take what? The shield of faith. Do you have the blood of Jesus on you for real? There are a lot of people who are taking the blood of Jesus for granted, and they're thinking, well, I believe in Jesus and therefore I'm forgiven, but they don't spend any time in prayer. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to read their Bible. They don't want to draw near to him. They don't want to walk in him and walk in faith day by day in a relationship with him. But he says this, we must have the blood of the Lamb. Right? The second thing he says there, the word of our testimony. You know what that is? That's being willing to speak to other people about what Jesus has done and is doing in your life. If you're ashamed of him, the Bible says he will be ashamed of you. If you won't confess him, speak about him in front of other people, he said he's not going to confess you before his Father in heaven. You cannot be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You cannot be ashamed of your faith. You can't be ashamed of the gospel. You can't be ashamed to say Jesus is the only way to heaven. You can't be ashamed to say you must believe to be saved. He's the only way to have your sins washed away or you go to hell. You can't be ashamed of the gospel. You If you're born again, if you're saved, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, then Jesus has done something in your life. You've got a story to tell. Your story is going to be different than my story, except for the part of what Jesus forgave us and changed us and saved us. But your story is different. You have a different background. You went through different problems. You went through different, you know, whether abuse or sin or rebellion or some, you know, somebody hurt you different than they hurt me. What has Jesus done in your life? And do you speak it? Do you speak it? That's why he says the word, spoken word of your testimony. If you are ashamed of Jesus, the devil and the fallen angels will overtake you. And the third one he put here, he lists here, he said, love not your life even unto the death. For many, especially if we live on in these last days, for many Christians, it will be. It will be a life and death decision. They put a gun to your head or a machete to your neck and they say, deny Jesus Christ. What will you do? If he wasn't important to you in your life, why would he be important to you at the moment of your death? Are you willing, do you love your life enough, or not love it, rather, I should say, to say, okay, the next world is more important, eternity is more important than this life. Notice what he says here, though. After this war in heaven, and this is right at the end, he says, look at verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And woe! Woe is not a good thing. I'm not saying woe to the horsey. Woe meaning, oh boy, bad. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You think the devil's mad? You think the devil's working overtime on your brain, your mind, on your family, on this country, on the nations of the world? You think he's working hard now? This point is the midway, is the halfway point through the last 7 years. It says he will come down with great wrath because he knows his time is very short. And the only place of power and authority and refuge and hope will be for you to be in Jesus Christ fully. You can't say, well, Pastor Dean, I'm just going to try to do good. I'm going to try to be a good person. I'm going to try to be moral as I can be. I don't need to pray and spend time with the Lord. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to worship. I don't need to understand spiritual warfare. I don't need to fight. You're going to get beat. You're going to lose. There's the story of King David. You can go back in the Old Testament and you read it. 2 Samuel, after he became king. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'll just give you the short version here, the cliff notes. The Bible says, at the time when kings were supposed to go to battle, David stayed home and sent Joab to fight. Now the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 that we, if we're born again, the blood of Jesus on it says, we are kings and priests, the Most High God, right? Well, that passage says there, 2 Samuel chapter 11 says, at the time when kings go forth to battle, meaning that David was the king of Israel, he was supposed to go to battle. But it said he stayed home, sent someone else to do his work. Maybe he's just tired, wanted to rest, wanted to veg out. Uh-oh. We got a lot of veg in people, want to veg, right? For those of you in Sweden and other places, the Netherlands, that just means to sit on the couch and do nothing. But it said David stayed home when he was supposed to be at war. when he was supposed to be out fighting with his men, fighting the demon-filled enemies of the kingdom. And that is when he walked out on his balcony one night, and he saw this beautiful woman bathing on a rooftop. I could just tell you that she knew she was in view of the king's balcony. Bathsheba was the niece of David's chief advisor, Ahithophel. And most people believe that it was a plot to trap David. And, of course, it worked. David took her. She was married to another man named Uriah. David, first the lust of the eyes, took hold of him. Then he acted upon that lust and called her to himself. They committed adultery. She got pregnant. He tried to cover it up by getting her husband to come home from the battle where he was supposed to be. But the husband, Uriah, was more honorable than King David, who was the man after God's own heart. He was much more honorable than David and said, I will not go to my wife while my men are fighting. So David even went further and got him drunk, tried to make him go home so he'd have, you know, relations with his wife so they could blame the pregnancy, you know, and it wasn't him. Got him drunk, he still wouldn't go. Still, even drunk, the man had more honor. And so David sent a note by Joab, the general, put him at the front of the battle and withdraw from him. So David had him killed. Hard to fathom how a man so beloved of God and who loved God so much would fall so terribly. But let me tell you why he fell so terribly. It's all in that first verse there. Because he was supposed to be fighting in the battle. Instead, he was being lazy and doing nothing. If you will not fight this spiritual battle, you will be defeated. Because I can tell you, even those of us who know how to fight, how to bind the demons, resist the demons in Jesus' name, break the curses, fight the witches and the Satanists and their spells and everything else, those of us who know how to fight, sometimes we have a hard time. So if you're not fighting, I can assure you, you are losing. And if you won't pick up the weapons every day, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is the sword. If you don't have the Word, if you won't read the Word and speak the Word, then you're going to be defeated. If you don't put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is faith in the blood of Jesus, and then repent and do the right thing. If you don't put on the girdle of truth, if you don't walk in the truth, tell the truth and speak the truth of God's Word. If you don't prepare yourself to preach the gospel, if you don't take the shield of faith, if you don't put on the helmet of salvation, if you don't fight and pray always, you're going to lose this battle. And you may not, hey, you may not lose your life, but you're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose eternity in heaven. You're going to be deceived. You're going to let the deceitfulness of sin come in and rob your soul and stand before God and hear God say, depart from me, ye cursed. You wouldn't get out of your premarital sex. You wouldn't get out of your fornication and adultery. You wouldn't get out of your drugs and alcohol. You wouldn't get out of your lukewarmness. Are you picking up your weapons of spiritual warfare and fighting these forces of darkness? Because I'm here to tell you, I know in the spirit, I have fought them now for 30 years. I have fought powerful witches and warlocks, high priests and high priestesses, and entire satanic covens. I've had them send people to assassinate me with real guns. I know about this battle. And I can tell you that it is tougher now than it was when I was 19, 20, and 21, back in 1987, 88, 89, when I was fighting these forces of darkness in people. Entire witches' covens of 1,500 and 3,000 were cursing me, sending people to try to kill me. And right now, it's worse than it was then. I have days that the spiritual attack is so intense on me, I want to, the last thing I want to do is pray or go to church or preach. There are times I want to run away from doing this because the opposition in the spirit realm at times is overwhelming. And let me get on a serious subject like I did last week. After the radio show, I'm not going to keep going on this. The weapons of your warfare. What did Jesus do when he was tempted by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness? He was fasting and praying. Do you fast and pray? Not me. Do you fast and pray? Do you spend a lot of time praying? Do you have a prayer life every day? Do you take the sword of the Spirit? Do you read the word? Do you memorize it? Do you speak it out of your mouth and use it? When Jesus spoke the word, it says, "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The devil's fighting. What did Jesus do? He pulled out a sword. He quote the word. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, "First bind the strong man." Let me tell you something. When I get hit by something, sometimes I get hit by depression. I have to say, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of depression in heaven. I bind you in Jesus' name. Go from me. When I feel witchcraft coming, I say, I bind those spirits of divination, those familiar spirits, those spirits sent by witches. I bind you and command you to go from me. I break the curses off, the spells, the voodoo, the Santeria, whatever it is. I break it off of me in Jesus' name. You have to fight. Do you fight? Or are you being lazy? Listen, I just don't feel like it today, Pastor Dean. Well, get ready to get your head beat in today. I mean, what happens to a fighter? There's a 15-round fight. And he decides in the third round, you know what, I'm kind of tired of this. Ding, ding. Round's on. I'm not going to fight. You can't even get knocked out. See, the good news is this. If you know Jesus and you take up the spiritual weapons, here's the wonderful thing. Even if you get hit and go down, fall, you're getting an 8 count. They're about to TKO you. You messed it up bad. The good news, you can say, "God, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Help me. Wash this sin away. Help me not do this anymore. Forgive me." And you know what that is? That's old Rocky crawling back up the ropes, you know. 7, 8. And he crawls back up. And like Rocky, you can crawl back up and beat Apollo Creed. You can win. Listen, I'm just saying this. You can win this spiritual battle if you fight. If you don't fight, you will lose. And it may not just be things in this world. You will lose your soul in the next. Because, see, the battle of the devil's battle, what he wants is your eternal soul in hell. That's what he wants. That's his goal. But it's up to you to stop it. Just because Jesus died for you and you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you'll make it to heaven. That little lie of, I got saved when I was 9, but I don't do anything else. I do what I want. No. That doesn't work that way. You're not once saved, always saved, no matter how you live. Not at all. Are you in Jesus Christ? Are you walking in Jesus Christ? Are you fighting? How many of you say, "Yeah, I'm walking, but I've been knocked down. My mind's getting worn out by these spirits. I'm getting attacked on every side." You've gone to the mat. All I can say is, get up. Get up and start fighting again. Get up and start swinging. Get up and start putting on the armor of God, binding the demons in Jesus' name, speaking the word of God, going to church, worshiping God, loving God, putting God first. Start fighting and you'll start winning. Doesn't mean you'll never fall down again. It doesn't mean you won't have a bad day and get beat up and mess up. But stay, just keep getting up. What's that verse? You can look it up for me. It's in Proverbs, I think. He talks about a righteous man falls seven times, but rises up again. Maybe in Psalms. But what do? The wicked fall and stay there. That's the difference. You want a good definition of between the righteous and the wicked? The righteous fall just like the wicked. We all sin. The righteous fall, but they keep getting up and going back to Jesus and letting him wash it away and trying to do better and walk with him. Repentance, faith. We just keep walking after him. But the wicked, it says, they fall and they stay there. They give into it. They submit to the and become just full of mischief and evil and scheming. What is it? Proverbs 24:16. For the just man, just means righteous, good, holy. For a just man falleth seven times, but rises again, up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. And the word mischief means displeasure, destruction, sorrow, calamity. Will you be part of the righteous or part of the wicked? What will you be? Y'all quiet in here this morning. There's only one way to make it right. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on that cross for my sin. That you defeated Satan's dominion in my life. I believe you rose from the dead because you never sinned and you are God in the flesh. I believe that. Lord, forgive me. Wash my sins away. I give you my life, and from this day forward, I'm going to obey the best I can. You're not going to be perfect. But I'm going to walk with you day by day by day. I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to fight. I'm going to pick up the weapons of my spiritual warfare, and I'm going to fight. Trust me, you're going to see in the days ahead, especially this next year, really, between now and 2018, 2019, this whole world is going to change dramatically. The United States, the global economy, there will be a world war. Nuclear weapons will be released. Oh, it's going to happen. Everything's going to change, and it could happen just like that. Take the time you have now of relative peace, relative decent economy in the United States. The grocery stores still are full. Muslims aren't running completely rampant in America and raping everybody yet. Hear what I'm saying? Hope you do it. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that I've made this as clear as I can. That we are in a spiritual battle against Satan and his fallen angels and demon spirits and evil people, wicked people. And there is a battle that we must deal with spiritually first. We must be in Jesus Christ. We must be in faith. We must be in him fully, walking the way we need to walk. Lord, I ask you today, if anybody in here is not doing that, or anybody listening,
are watching this morning, that they're not ready, that today they'll get ready. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to ask this question this morning. And I want you to raise your hand and let me know. If you're not ready, and you can admit, say, Pastor Dean, I'm not ready, raise your hand where you are. I see those hands. You may put them down. If that's you, you're watching by Periscope, you're listening Blog Talk Radio, it's real simple. The prayer that you pray is simple. The hard part is, are you going to do it today, tonight, tomorrow? Are you going to say, Jesus, I'm going to do what you want me to do from this point on? Are you going to really repent of sin? A lot of people say, well, Lord, forgive me for my premarital sex or my drinking or my partying or my whatever, my marijuana. People have all their different things. They say, Jesus, forgive me, but they don't really intend on quitting. So let me say this. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead a prayer this morning. I'm going to do things a little bit differently. I don't normally do it this way. But I want to say this. If you pray this prayer this morning and you don't mean it, then nothing's happening. If you don't mean it for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and the week after, and if you don't mean to do it, then this prayer means nothing. But if you mean that you're going to really follow Jesus and start fighting this spiritual war, if you're going to do it right, then this prayer is a beginning. It's a first step. You know, as they say, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. So if you want to get it right, you know you're not ready and you want to get it right, I want you to pray this prayer with me. You may be listening, watching. You can pray this prayer. But remember, it's more important what you do after this prayer. Pray this with me. Father in heaven, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, that he broke the dominion of Satan, that he rose from the dead the third day, that he is the one true God and the only way to be saved. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins, to wash them away. Lord, today I admit that I am guilty, that I deserve to go to hell. But today I decide that I'm going to repent and I'm going to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to follow you. Today I bind Satan. I bind the demons in my life. I bind them and I rebuke them and I command them to stop their maneuvers in my life. I will turn from sin and I will start a walk with you, Jesus, for real from this day forward. Pray this in Jesus' name. Glory to God. These forces are real. Why don't we do this? Let's do this song right here. You got the words? We're going to do one worship song before we go. If you prayed that prayer in here, or you prayed that listening by Periscope, just worship with us, Lord.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, born out of the world and die. Defeated, suffered, and defeated.
Overcome by your blood, by the word of our testimony, because we love not our lives even unto the death. Lord, we overcome by being dedicated, total sold out followers. Not perfect, but sold out. Lord, I ask you to bless your people here today, those listening, those watching. Touch people that will listen, Lord, in the days ahead. Father, we thank you for victory to overcome, power to overcome.
We thank you for the weapons of spiritual warfare you've given us to use. Help us use them. Father, we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys know the drill. If you have a tithe or offering that you want to give, it's the basket back there in the back. Hug some necks before you leave. Amen.